a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Why don't you fellas introduce yourself? Come back.
I'm Caleb Winia. I'm from south of Canton, and I'm planning on going to the University of Sioux Falls.
I'm August Crowley. I'm from St. Ange, Belfouche, Bayfouche area, and I plan on enlisting in the military and going to college for political science.
Welcome. It's good to have both of you with us. All right, I would ask at this time the secretary to please call the roll.
Representative Consett. Gibson,
here.
Gosh,
here.
Hansen,
here.
Hunhoff,
here.
Killer,
here.
Munsterman,
here.
Nostrup,
here.
Parsley,
here.
Urchio,
here.
Wink,
here.
Cronin,
here.
Lust,
here.
Mr. Chair, there's a quorum.
I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Moved by Hansen, seconded by Munsterman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are passed. With that, let's go ahead and get right into our calendar today. And remind everyone also to turn off any electronic devices, especially true of testifying representatives. With that, we'll take up House Bill 1138, an act to revise the state aid to education formula and to make an appropriation. Proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 1138 was another vehicle bill for the Cutler-Gabriel Amendment. We don't need this at this time, so I would ask that you respectfully table House Bill 1138.
Thank you, Representative Cronin. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1138 or opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll close after that convincing testimony. We will close public hearing and open up to questions or action by members of the committee. Representative Nostrup.
Move to table 1138.
With the premature second by Representative Urchio. The motion is to table. It's non-debatable. All those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Consett. Gibson.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Urchio.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Lust. Mr. Chair.
Aye.
13 ayes.
1138 is tabled. Let's move down in our calendar to House Bill 1139, an act to revise certain provisions regarding educational data reporting. Proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Dustin Cronin, District 23. This bill was brought last year, actually, as in response to the cuts that were made to education. There was a lot of people out there who had claimed many losses of teachers and had you know, claimed that they had to let a bunch of people go, and we wanted to have them, you know, put it in writing who lost their jobs and how the cuts affected them in different ways, so that we could see, you know, maybe how to help out in the future and make some different changes. But It died last year, and I brought it back just as a general discussion point this year, and to have another vehicle out there for education. But we have enough vehicles for education, which we passed out of here yesterday. So I would also ask that House Bill 1139 be tabled. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Cronin. Remind me not to have you be a proponent on any of my bills. With that, we will entertain comment or action by members of the committee. Representative Nostrup.
Move to table House Bill 1139.
Second.
Moved by Nostrup, seconded by Hansen to table House Bill 1139. Again, non-debatable. We will have the secretary call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Representative Consett.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Urchio.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes.
You bet. Moving on in our calendar, proponent testimony for House Bill 1165.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Welcome, Representative Lust.
Thank you. It's good to be amongst this honorable committee. David Lust, House of Representatives, District 34. House Bill 1165 is an annual bill we see. It's the Cutler-Gabriel adjustment. I'm not going to confirm that the numbers, that the strike-throughs on the bill are completely accurate. I think we'll get some more information, and those may be revised further at some point, but it allows us to get this over to the Senate. They are passing a companion bill over to us, and we will have that resolved by the end of session as to what the proper appropriate levies should be for school districts. So with that, I would ask that we let this bill continue its journey and send it on to the floor in the Senate. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1165? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1165? Seeing none, we will close public testimony and open up to committee discussion or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gosch.
I move do pass.
Representative Gosch moves do pass. Second by Hansen. On House Bill 1165, all those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed, nay. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Kunzit, Gibson, Gosch, Hansen, Hunhoff, Killer, Munsterman, Elstrup, Parsley, Virtue, Wink, Cronin, Lust, 13 ayes.
Thank you. 1165 will head to the floor to pass. Next in our calendar is House Bill 1190, an act to prohibit the state of South Dakota and its political subdivisions from adopting and developing United Nations-sponsored environmental and developmental policies that would infringe or restrict the private property rights of the owners of private property. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1190.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Representative Jim Stalzer, representing District 11 in Sioux Falls. And I have, I guess first I have an amendment that I will ask the pages to hand out. And then when they get that one handed out, I have a citizen letter that I would also like to hand out.
I believe we're going to have someone join us telephonically as well.
Yep. Okay. Yes. I believe Mike that is joining us also had a letter that he submitted that I'm going to ask the pages to hand out when they finish the amendment. And then, Mr. Chairman, I would request permission to speak to the bill and the amendment.
So granted.
Okay. Well, like the leader's testimony, this is the quick, simple thing. If you'll just pass it on to the Senate, I would be very happy, and we can all go home. And if that doesn't work, then I guess we better talk about the bill a little bit. Agenda 21 is came out of the United Nations conference in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in 1992. It is pretty much an extreme environmentalism initiative. And then in the United States and other countries, you'll hear people talk about ICLEI, which stands for the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, which is the vehicle that has been used in the United States to try to propagate some of the policies of Agenda 21. Some of the basic premises is that it's opposed to private property ownership. Primarily is opposed to single-family homes, private vehicles, private car ownership. They want us to do mass transit, opposition to privately owned farms, and anything else that it considers destructive to the environment. One of the things that brought this to our attention or put it on the radar was the city of Sioux Falls introduced a sustainability master plan where they got a $250,000 grant from the stimulus bill from Congress, and they hired a group to to put this sustainability master plan together. It's about 250 pages. It's readily available. In fact, one gentleman who was planning to speak today was going to bring copies of it, but in the interest of saving the environment and saving paper, I'm not going to hand them out this morning. But during the process for the most recent city council election, just by asking questions and getting the city council to look seriously at the sustainability master plan, which you could almost go to the ICLEI website and pick it up word for word. The first step was to try to limit the number of garbage haulers under the pretext that a garbage truck idling in front of your house is emitting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and that having 35 garbage haulers in Sioux Falls would was hard on the streets, and that if we could cut that down to 5 garbage haulers in districts, we could save our roads and save our environment. So it's, you know, pretty much far out. It has been condemned by the Republican National Committee. I don't know if the Democratic Party has taken any action on it, but it was also a plank put in the Republican platform in South Dakota this last convention to encourage us to oppose these radical environmental issues. But part of it is that it's basic communism, that everyone should benefit from the natural resources of the earth and so on, and it pretty much discourages national sovereignty and allegiance to a one-world government type thing. And I know, as one of the city council members said, as I asked some questions, that sounds like pretty much a conspiracy theory, but I would ask that you look at it seriously, because it really is out there. And I'm as much of an environmentalist as I think is reasonable. I drive a little 50cc scooter to work in the summers because I get 100 miles a gallon, and it helps not only the environment but my pocketbook. But anyway, I would ask you to listen to the testimony this morning and give the people a fair hearing. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Stalzer. Do you want to, is there a gentleman on the line with us?
Yes.
Could you introduce yourself and then you can testify?
Yeah, my name is Mike Holker. I'm a city commissioner in the town of Newell. Excuse me. About several months ago, we passed a resolution here in the city to not take any funds from ICLEI or any Agenda 21 related organization. I have a hard time, I'm sorry, hearing, was having a hard time hearing yours, so if I go over something that you've said, I apologize. Basically, our concern was that Agenda 21, and I have looked into it, it's not a conspiracy, it's really there. Some of the things that Agenda 21 wants us to do is eliminate private transportation, reduce meat consumption, creating of human settlements, and learning how to make decisions within the Agenda 21 framework. There are 40 chapters in all of in Agenda 21 telling us how we must live our lives. The UN has a position on private property ownership, and I will quote it here, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. If unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes. The provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole. Basically, they want to move all of us into living zones, which are primarily clustered on the East Coast, and turn most of the rest of the country into a zone that would be not open to people. under Agenda 21, all of us, our heirs, will lose everything, regardless of how good our stewardship has been of the resources. From my position, I cannot, and we cannot let this happen. Please vote in favor of HB 1190 to eliminate or to restrict any entities in the state from using any Agenda 21 or ICLEI funds. Any questions from you, gentlemen?
Thank you, Mr. Kolker. I will, why don't you stand by in case there are questions once we finish with proponent and opponent testimony.
Thank you.
You bet, thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1190. Proponent testimony.
Okay. Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Eldon Stahl. I'm from Mitchell, testifying on behalf of myself. And I, of course, am supporting HB 1190. A couple things that I'd like to bring up. But one of the most common descriptions of what Agenda 21 does is a term called sustainable development, sometimes abbreviated as sustainability. And most of the literature quotes a report from 1987 that was developed by the United Nations, by the United Nations Commission, often referred to as the Brundtland Commission, named after a woman named Gro Harlem Brundtland, who is the former president of Norway, president of Norway and former vice president of Socialist International, which is the direct descendant of Karl Marx's Communist International. The report came out in 87. The commission was started in 1983. But basically, they coined the term sustainable development at that time, which is often quoted as saying development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. To most people, that sounds pretty much like apple pie and something that who could be concerned about. Sounds like common sense responsibility for our own resources. What's often not quoted is the additional detail that was provided in that report. It's called Our Common Future, is the report. One thing it said was, quote, sustainable development requires meeting basic needs of all and extending to all the opportunity to fulfill their basic aspirations for a better life. Meeting essential needs requires an assurance that the poor get their fair share of the resources required to sustain growth. It also went on to say sustainable development can only be pursued if population size and growth are in harmony with the changing productive potential of the ecosystem. Sometimes when I bring this aspect up, people say, well, you're alleging that this is pushing for forced sterilization or forced abortion. I suppose that could be the case. However, not necessarily. Overall, I think it would be more accurate to say that the idea behind Agenda 21 would be more of a what's often called communitarianism view, where the desires of the community are considered superior.
Mr. Kolker, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sorry about that.
Sorry,
Mr. Stahl.
It's okay. Where the desires of the community in philosophy of communitarianism are considered superior to the rights of the individual. So, you might say various efforts, incentives to mold how large of a family people have, that may be encouraging or discouraging, can come into play. And, of course, we need to ask, is that, at least in our traditional form of government in America, is that what we consider the proper role of government, or is that something that we would consider outside the realm of government's of proper role? Okay, moving on. The report also says sustainable global development requires that those who are more affluent adopt lifestyles within the planet's ecological means. And 5 years later, in 1992, when Agenda 21 was drafted in the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, the chairman of this summit, Maurice Strong, he said that sustainable development requires that people give up things like home and work air conditioning, high meat intake, appliances, and suburban housing. Agenda 21 itself has chapter 4, called Changing Consumption Patterns. I wonder if that is really an appropriate role of government to try to mold what we consume. Touching on private property rights again, basically there's 4 aspects of private property: use, control, disposal, and title. If you look up any definition of private property, and if there's any infringement upon those, then essentially you don't have full private property rights. Our founding fathers, they viewed private property as inseparable. In fact, inseparable from freedom. In fact, George Washington said private property and freedom are inseparable. And they looked often to John Locke as their inspiration on this, who wrote in his second treatise on government, "The great and chief end of men's uniting and commonwealths is the preservation of their property." Agenda 21 is not something, I know some say, well, it's optional, it's not, it's a voluntary thing. Technically, it was not signed as a treaty. However, the ordinances, the laws and rules that are adopted by our local governments to promote the proposals placed in Agenda 21, those are not optional. So this bill certainly applies to that. Some people raise the issue of local control. They say, well, localities should be able to control these things themselves. I would argue that it is not, although local control is valuable, it is not the role of government to infringe upon our most basic rights, and that we should not place the ideal of local control above what is the proper role of government. With that, thank you for your time, and we'll give others a chance. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Further proponent testimony in House Bill 1190.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
That's a fine introduction he had there.
Yes. Senator Larry Roden, District 29. It's a pleasure to speak before this committee. During my last few years in the when I was still in the House, this committee was widely held as the best-run committee in all the Capitol. So I hope you've maintained that level of...
It's improved dramatically.
I won't take up much of your time, but I did want to just state a couple words. This bill was brought to my attention, I kind of cast a doubtful eye toward the importance of Agenda 21. I have used this as an excuse to educate myself a little further and dig into it. In fact, I went on to the UN website and printed off, well, there were 700 pages in the Agenda 21. I printed off about four chapters just dealing with agriculture. And I have to say, it is pretty alarming when you start getting into it and see what's contained in Agenda 21. You know, I think probably thousands of times their paragraphs start out, government at an appropriate level and with support of relevant international and regional organization should. Chapter after chapter after chapter, paragraph after paragraph, labeled. So if you take it at its face, what's contained in the 700 pages represents an absolute and total takeover by governments all around the planet. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to take up a lot of your time. I just wanted to officially register my testimony in support of this bill and leave it in your capable hands to deal with it in the appropriate manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Roden. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1190. Proponent testimony. Seeing none, opponent testimony on House Bill 1190. Opponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Will Mortensen with the Office of Governor Dennis Dugard. I got to tell you, it's my inaugural trip to the testifying dais, so, sir, if in the likely event that I'm way out of order, I hope you bang the gavel and don't throw it at me. I'd sure appreciate it. I got to be honest, I, like Senator Roden just before me, was not very familiar with UN Agenda 21 before researching this bill and this issue. I scanned the 350-plus page report and can confirm that many of the policies there do absolutely kind of reek of misguided utopianism and kind of extreme policies. They certainly contradict Governor Dugard's values as related to, you know, reasonable regulation, kind of the role of central planning in government and certainly property rights. The reason we rise in opposition is that the bill before you is overly broad and suffers from some pretty massive unintended consequences. In the bill, it kind of sets two thresholds for policies that would be, if passed, prohibited. And the thresholds are that any policy by South Dakota or any political subdivision, counties, cities, school districts, if it inadvertently even infringes on property rights and also is traceable to Agenda 21. As I said, it's over 350 pages long. And as Senator Roden said, a lot of the statements in it begin with the word should. And so it's incredibly broad and deals with an incredibly wide array of topics. As we researched it, a few of the policies you are pretty accessible to you all that could be prohibited if this bill had passed include fighting mountain pine beetle in the Black Hills, managing any radioactive waste, limit the county's ability to decide whether ag developments could be sited in their county, cities developing bike paths, and on and on. And you can see kind of how problematic a lot of these things would be despite the intention. As I say, I think the bill probably is well-intentioned as a safeguard from some of these more radical environmental policies and some of this over-regulation. I would maintain to you that the best safeguard we've got in South Dakota against a lot of those things are a reasonable and thoughtful legislature that sits before us in a good process in South Dakota. And so I'd urge the committee to oppose House Bill 1190, and I'd stand by for questions.
Thank you. I'll wait till you turn around to throw the gavel. Thank you, Mr. Mortensen. Further opponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Jeff Melhoff with the South Dakota Municipal League. Yvonne couldn't be here. She has many other bills to testify on. So I am before you today. Never been before this committee, so as Will said, don't throw the gavel at me. Before I started looking at this bill, I had no idea what Agenda 21 was. So I thought to myself, where's the best place to look? Obviously the UN. So I went there, did some research, and a lot of it was extreme, and then I read a book by Glenn Beck called Agenda 21, and it's a fictitious book about the extremes of what that policy would do, and it just was that, a fictitious book. And it was interesting, but it's not real. It was a made-up book, but like I said, it was an interesting read, and if you have time, I suggest you read it. But let me go into a little bit more detail here about Section 1 of this bill. What is exactly meant by policy recommendations? Does this mean that even though South Dakota statutes require all cities and counties to adopt a policy document, the comprehensive plan before adopting a zoning code, does this mean that the comprehensive plan cannot contain any kind of findings or policies or recommendations on how to implement it? For example, would Sioux Falls be unable to adopt a recommendation in their sustainability master plan indicating their desire to capture methane gas from the landfill and sell it to industries just because that same general idea is expressed in Agenda 21? We are deeply concerned about the statement originating in or traceable to Agenda 21. Using an example of this sustainable concept in operation now, the city of Sioux Falls sustainability program includes a household hazardous waste facility where residents can bring their old electronics and other potentially dangerous household waste items to be recycled at no cost. And is the state legislator prepared to address how communities will handle the hazardous waste that can no longer be processed at these facilities? Because they wouldn't be able to have this program because it'd be linked, apparently, to Agenda 21. And the last time I read the Fifth Amendment, it said, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And with that, I'll stand by for any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Melhoff. Further opponent testimony in House Bill 1190. Opponent testimony.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Jim Shuckleton. I'm general counsel for the Board of Regents. I haven't heard discussion on the amendment, and had the amendment been in place, I would not be here. The provisions of the second section of this bill would have an immediate and severe effect on vital research for South Dakota and South Dakota industries. Part of Agenda 21 sustainability recommendations touch upon the development of seed stocks that are useful as for human consumption. In particular, they encourage the development of research into the genetic properties of the seeds and the application of that to improve our seed stocks. At present, South Dakota State University, along with many land-grant universities, are engaged in a very trenchant struggle to try to prevent the reach into this nation and our food stocks of a variety of wheat rust that originated in Africa. In the contemporary world, just as happened with AIDS in human beings, it's impossible to isolate plant diseases, plant materials. Commerce just spans all continents, and therefore an international response is essential if we're effectively going to be able to protect our citizens and, in South Dakota, our major industries. The primary entity that is involved in trying to coordinate this international effort to prevent the spread of wheat rust was established by Norman Borlaug, and it's based in Mexico. Section 2 would prevent South Dakota State University from receiving grants or participating in that effort, and therefore, on that basis, we need to oppose this bill. I might take the liberty of pointing out that in Section 1, there really has a null legal effect. The South Dakota Constitution, as it does its predecessor, the American Constitution, protects the rights of private property against any infringement without due process of law. Whether it's intentional or inadvertent, that's immaterial. If it's an infringement upon private property and it has been taken without due process of law, it is beyond the competence of any public authority in this country. This bill, this legislation, only adds a statement to what is already the fact, but there's no legal effect to that statement. There is one other aspect of this that is, or two aspects that are troubling. As is already shown by Section 2, it is possible that citizens of this state may prevail upon the international community or upon the national community to adopt approaches to plant genetics that we find compelling. This bill would penalize citizens who have successfully advocated their point of view and persuaded the international community to adopt it. More importantly, this bill takes the position that you as legislators can dictate to the citizens of South Dakota what sources of information they may rely upon, and that you can direct people who, as public officials throughout the state at every level of government, that they may not listen to their constituents if their constituents rely upon particular sources of information. I submit that there's no more troubling precedent for a democratic government. This is fundamentally inconsistent with Republican government. And although this is beyond what my original portfolio was as a citizen and as who shares your commitment to government by the people, I urge you to defeat this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shackleton. Further opponent testimony on House Bill 1190. Opponent testimony. Seeing none, Representative Stalzer, like a rebuttal, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee again. Jim Stalzer, District 11. And I guess I was in remiss by not asking specifically that the amendment be moved, but the amendment restrips out Section 2. It's, if you pass the amendment, it's gone. During the City Council debates in Sioux Falls, as I said, there was one particular candidate who proposed that we actually implement the Sustainability Master Plan. Fortunately, the other candidates looked into it, and Councilman Anderson currently has the plan on his desk and has assured us it will never leave that because it is so adverse to the American way of life. And I guess I would speak a little bit to the testimony that we need to listen to our people, but we also need to follow our Constitution and our laws, and that just because people want something doesn't necessarily mean they should have it. And the intent of this is to send a message that we do need to follow our Constitution. And with that, I would request that you do pass on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Stelzer. At this point, we'll close public testimony portion and open up to questions by members of the committee. Questions by members of the committee. Representative Gosch.
Question for Mr. Mortensen. What authority does the United Nations have over the United States or any of its political subdivisions?
None that I'm aware of.
One more, please. And what force of law does an agenda from the United Nations have over any U.S. citizen?
Mr. Chairman, none that I'm aware of also.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions by members of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gosch.
Thank you. Question for Representative Stalzer. Representative, first, thank you for bringing this issue forward to the committee and pointing out something that I didn't know existed. I know there's a lot of different practices out there from different organizations that are bizarre that I don't do research on. This is just a new one that maybe should be on Dateline or something. But with all those odd policies, laws, agendas from organizations, cults, countries, radical groups that we don't like, we don't generally codify opposition to those in the South Dakota Code. We don't put them into statute. We state our opposition as a legislature in a form of a resolution. You know, for example, we haven't put into our code our opposition to socialism or communism, Sharia law, cult practices, the stoning of women, human rights violations in China. You know, I think if we started codifying opposition, putting this in the code, we would have a whole separate book of our South Dakota laws. Wouldn't you agree that a statement like this is more appropriate for a resolution?
I was waiting for a question in there.
We got there eventually. I know that if I had done that on the floor, I would have been asked, where's the question, very early in that, Mr.
I'm a little bit more generous than some.
I guess it would be my intention to, if this body does not move this forward, that I would bring a resolution as a backup stance, yes.
Wouldn't you agree that it's more appropriate in a resolution rather than codifying in light of there's all types of practices from different cults and groups and, like I said, all kinds of countries and things we don't like. We don't codify that opposition. We don't put it in the code. We've stated that in the past in the form of a resolution.
Well, seeing that you're trying to get me in trouble with my constituents, but I will agree with you.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions by members of the committee? Representative Virchow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak for Mr. Melhoff. Thank you, sir. This is kind of a selfish question on my part because I'm always interested in freebies. You said this facility in Sioux Falls was no cost, so what, if you could explain to me what organizations or entities that donated this facility and who donate all of its operations, if it's free?
Mr. Chairman, I believe this is a city, like the city of Sioux Falls runs this facility, so they allow anyone to bring in like their old computers, their old TVs, that instead of going to the landfill, they would go to this recycling center, and basically you're saving space in your landfill, you're doing the responsible thing, and not just throwing into landfill, letting that mercury or the other toxic chemicals in those TVs, computers, whatever else, get into the soil and the environment. Does that answer the question?
Just a
follow-up, Representative Virchow.
Just a quick statement, I guess. That actually isn't a no cost. The taxpayers are paying for it, correct?
I guess I can't, Mr. Chairman. I guess I can't say for sure. Sioux Falls, I haven't, you know, looked into their exact program myself, so I can't say for sure if the city's paying for it or if it's donated from a nonprofit. I guess I can't say for sure.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for Representative Stalzer. Representative, I'm wondering if you would respond to the gentleman from the Board of Regents' assertion that basically what the effect of this bill would be is to ensure that there is no infringement or restriction of private property rights without due process, and that that is already covered in our state constitution, Constitution of the United States, and so, in effect, this bill would have no influence on our standing laws at all.
Not being an attorney, I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that, and I understand it. I'm not sure if the gentleman is an attorney either, but I guess I can't, you know, I can't give you a legal answer to that one.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions by members of the committee? Seeing no further questions, we will open it up for action by members of the committee.
Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move 1190 RA.
Second.
Motion by Wink to amend 1190 in accordance with 1190 RA, seconded by Hansen. Discussion on that motion, Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think with this amendment, it makes it a better bill. It strikes Section 2, and I think that is the reason some of the opponents have come to oppose this bill. Makes it a better bill, and I think that it's a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment before us is 1190 RA. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion passes. We are now on 1190 as amended. Action by members of the committee. Representative Nostrup.
Move to defer House Bill 1190 to the 41st day.
Second.
Move by Nostrup, seconded by Munsterman. Discussion on that motion, Representative Nostrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I thank the representative and senator for bringing this bill forward, but I think the opponent testimony was pretty compelling, and I was doing a little research also on this, and one thing that I guess it was in the letter that we received that was talking about open space management. Would parks be classified as that, and we would ban parks? And I obviously there's a lot of stuff in there that we don't agree with, but some things that we do think are good, we would not be able to do because somebody could make it traceable to Agenda 21. So I think traceable and also inadvertently are troublesome. And I think the greatest protection against this is the U.S. Constitution and the South Dakota Constitution, protecting our private property rights and also this legislative body and our city councils and all of them. We have the Constitution and our elected officials to protect those rights, and I think that's the best safeguard. So I would ask you to defer this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion on that motion. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I appreciate the discussion, and it's been a good discussion. And obviously, I think there are things in Agenda 21 that don't fit with our property values, property rights values in South Dakota. And I think suspicion of public bodies is a good thing, truly. I know when every weekend I go home and visit with my friends at the Utica Bar, I find they're very suspicious of everything we're doing here in Pierre, and appropriately so. So I think it's a good discussion, but the bill seems to be more restrictive, more confining than what the and even amended, it's more confining than anything I see in Agenda 21, which is mostly voluntary and suggestive. So I appreciate the motion and hope you'll support the motion. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Well, I would add, I think there's a very significant unintended consequence in this bill. If you look at the bill, it qualifies your due process rights and ties them to Agenda 21. If you look at our state constitution, Article 6, Section 2, there's a very concise statement about your due process rights, and I'll read it. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. A very clear, succinct, bold statement of your due process rights. I'm afraid this bill would be not in accord with Section 2 of Article 6. It is, in essence, a subtraction by addition. By adding and qualifying in this bill, somehow it has to be tied to Agenda 21. You have diluted the very clear and concise statement in Article 6, Section 2, which clearly states that under no circumstances, whether it's tied to Agenda 21 or Agenda 41, that you cannot be deprived of your property without due process. So I strongly urge the committee to defer this bill to the 41st day. I understand the fear of Agenda 21. I think that it is potentially very harmful, but I don't think this bill does us any favors regarding our due process rights. So with that, I would ask the Secretary to call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Representative Consett?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosh,
aye.
Hansen,
aye.
Hunhoff,
aye.
Killer,
aye.
Munsterman,
aye.
Nostrup,
aye.
Parsley,
aye.
Virtue,
aye.
Wink,
aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 12 ayes, one nay.
That motion, having received the required number of vote, passes. House Bill 1190 is referred to the 41st day. Next on our agenda is House Bill 1205, an act to expand Medicaid. Proponent testimony on House Bill 1205.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bernie Hanoff, State Representative from Yankton District 18. And Representative Gosch has just convinced me that maybe House Bill 1205 would be better a resolution. So, common sense. No, seriously, it's a bill that was just put in as a vehicle in case we needed a bill like this. We felt we needed a discussion on this important issue. There appear now to be adequate opportunities for a good discussion and a good hearing on the issue. So I would advise the committee to move to table the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Cronin, would you further proponent testimony? All right, with that, we will close the public testimony portion of House Bill 1205 and open up for committee action. Representative Virgil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would respectfully move to table House Bill 1205.
Second.
Moved by Virgil, second by Consett. That's non-debatable. Those in favor of the motion to table will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Consett.
Aye.
Gibson.
No.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Hanhoff.
Aye.
Killer.
No.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Virgil.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 11 ayes, 2 nays.
House Bill 1205 is tabled. The last bill on our agenda today is House Bill 1242, an act to make application under Article 5 of the United States Constitution for a balanced budget amendment convention. Okay, we will be at ease until the proponent on that bill comes forward.
Mr. Chairman and members of the esteemed State Affairs Committee, for the Internet audience, I'm Hal Wick, State Representative of District 12, serving Sioux Falls, kind of the west-south-central part of Sioux Falls and Minnehaha and Lincoln County. And I apologize for 1242 even being drafted. I would ask you to table it. It was done in haste, and I was asked to be the sponsor. And in the meantime, we got a House joint resolution that was drafted that will be up on Tuesday. And if you would put this one to bed somewhere, that would be perfect. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Wick. With that, if there's anyone else who would care to testify in House Bill 1242, knowing its likely demise, you're welcome to testify. With that, we will close public testimony and open up to committee action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Consett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to table House Bill 1242.
Moved by Consett, seconded by Hansen to table House Bill 1242. That's non-debatable. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Consett.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Gosch.
Pass.
Hansen. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Virgil.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes.
House Bill 1242 is tabled. We've come to the end of our agenda and the end of our work before crossover day. Again, I commend the committee for their efforts. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Munsterman, second by Consett. All those